Want to be a lead magnet? It starts with using better words on your website. Hey, I'm Liz Teresa, and I'm here to tell you that improving your copy is the absolute easiest, quickest, and most cost-effective way to get more clients and cash rolling in. Go to freecopyvideo.com to download my free copywriting training. See you there. Hello, and welcome to the Liz on Biz podcast, where the guests are barely prepped and I'm barely ready. I'm your host, Liz Teresa, and I help you launch and build online businesses you love. This podcast is all about entrepreneurship, and I hope you like it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Liz on Biz. Here with me today is Jenny Sunnison. See, Jenny, I'm the worst. And Lindsay Allison. They are the founders of Uplevel Your Biz. They do a ton of work together. They're both, I would say, you guys have like both unique sets of talents that really beautifully complement each other. And you ran this amazing summit that I had the very great privilege of being a part of. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. I never get to have an episode with more than one brilliant person at once, because it's usually me and then the other person's not that brilliant. No, I'm just kidding. But it's usually just because it's like logistically, a lot of people are not involved a lot in JV or partnership or anything. So to just kind of get us started, Jenny, you can go first. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell me how you met Lindsay, and we'll see if Lindsay's story matches up.
Ooh, okay. So I'm Jenny. I am the owner of the business Confetti Social. It's actually taking a major shift like on Monday. So I imagine this will be posted after Monday, but I'm changing into a podcast management agency instead of social media management. So you guys are like the first to know, in terms of like a podcast interview, that's happening. So pretty cool stuff. But yeah, I did Pinterest management primarily. And now I'm just like, all right, I'm burning my whole business down and I'm going to be a podcast launch specialist and manager. So that's kind of where I'm at now. And then the way that Lindsay and I met was actually in a Facebook group. We both did like lifestyle vlogging before we started our businesses. And then we kind of met that way. And then we actually kind of started our regular businesses at the same time, in addition to our blog. So we kind of started talking about that. And then we just were talking over Facebook Messenger like every single day, eventually. So that's kind of how we met. And over time we decided like, yeah, I think we should collaborate. So we did like a couple smaller collaborations, and then we went into the actual partnership of Uplevel Your Biz that it is today. So we kind of tested the waters first before diving in head first, because I've seen some major crash and burn businesses that are joint partnerships. So we wanted to kind of make sure we work good together beforehand. But yeah, that's kind of how we met.
That's like smart business right there. Are you calling the podcast self, the podcast business that you're launching, are you calling it Confetti Podcasting, or is the confetti, are you throwing away all the confetti?
Yeah, I'm throwing the confetti out the window too. I know. So my podcast is, I have a solo podcast called Savvy Social Hour. So I'm changing everything to Savvy, and it's called Savvy Podcast Agency.
I love it. And who doesn't want to be more savvy? So I think that's wicked great. So Lindsay, tell me, so yeah, you guys met on Facebook, but Lindsay, tell me a little bit about your background and everything.
So I'm Lindsay, and I am a graphic designer and tech strategist, and my own personal business is Blog Me Lovely, and I actually work with Liz as well, so I'm part of the team, which is
spoiler
very exciting.
Alert. Yeah, we know. I love it.
But basically, I've just been designing and coding pretty much since I was like 11 or 12 years old. And I just love it. And it took me a while before I figured out I could turn it into a business. But I've probably been in business for 3 years now, which is crazy, crazy to think about. But yeah, so I just love all things like WordPress and designing and setting up tech systems. And that's pretty much where you can find me when I'm not doing anything Uplevel Your Biz related. And we're working on Jenny's nice new website, which is very exciting.
I love it. That's great. So tell me a little bit about, like, so you guys get together. Thank God you get along. It sounds like you've tested the waters and you've done all that. Because I think that, like, when people hear partnership and then this is even sexism, right? Then they're like, oh, women. And then, like, they're going to claw each other's eyes out. I don't know. But I mean, I've also, I've done some JV stuff with my friend Ashley, who you guys know, mm-hmm. Ashley Dash of Social. Mm-hmm. And like, but like, we definitely waited. It's almost like getting married or something, right? Because like, it's like you kind of had to date each other without the romance and then like make sure it was a fit before you made a commitment like that. But tell me, yeah, actually either one of you can tell me, you guys can decide, but tell me a little bit about what is Uplevel Your Biz as this joint venture, and like what ways does it show up online and who is it for? It's a big question. Right there. A thousand questions. So good luck.
Yeah, she can start and I'll fill in the gaps okay. if there's any.
Yeah. So Uplevel Your Biz is for female service-based business owners. Basically, since Jenny has a social media background and I do like design and tech, our talents and knowledge just kind of merge perfectly, I feel like. So we can talk about just about anything in business. We've done so much. We started around the same time, so about 3 years ago. So we've been on a very similar journey and similar path, and we're at a very similar level. So we just really want to help fellow female service-based business owners. I mean, that's our target. We have a few males in our audience, which is cool too. But
they don't have to leave, right? Like
No, they don't have to leave.
Okay.
But really, we just want to help them up-level their biz, but really get to a point where they feel more comfortable and get to the next level. So we're by no means like experts. We're not making like multiple six figures or anything, but we remember when we were just starting out and still trying to like figure out, you know, get over that plateau of normally like that first year, you know, of just kind of taking it further.
What was your first year kind of like? I guess both of, I'd like to hear, or I don't know, either one of you can field that, but like, cause I remember my first year in business and it was a while ago. It was like 8 years ago. It was forever. But I do remember I was working full time as an insurance agent by day. And then like, I'd go home and then I'd be at my parents' kitchen table like all evening, unless something good was on TV. And then I was in the TV room watching while I was doing work and everything. And so I worked all the time. I did have a boyfriend, but he lived really far away. And then eventually I married him and then, you know, left him. So like a lot's happened since then. But like, I just remember I worked like a dog. And so do you think like, that's definitely part of it. I think it's easier to start a business too when you have a 9-to-5. But what was kind of your experience like? Because that's my very much in the trenches experience that I had.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I started when I was working too. But I ended up leaving my full-time job in like 6 months. Conveniently, me and my husband were getting married in that November, and I had started like the business probably in June. So I ended up leaving my full-time job by December, just because I was like, well, now I have insurance because of you. So what's stopping me now?
That is so helpful.
Yeah, it was nice. So that was kind of my experience, but really I felt like my experience was throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticked. Mm. And half of it didn't stick. And I was just trying to get my grounding and find my feet basically in this business. Cause I mean, I had experience with the social media part of things, but I didn't know how to run a business. Like it was kind of embarrassing. Some of the things I was like trying to do or thought I needed to do. And then come to find out a couple years later, I'm like, oh God, that could have been bad. Why did I think that was a good idea? You know? So that's kind of what my experience was, just like hoping that whatever I was doing was eventually going to make an impact and not really having any kind of like strategy or, you know, any kind of tools in place to make that a reality.
That's really, I think that the sticking it or the throwing it and seeing what sticks and definitely what doesn't. I think we can all relate to that and not feeling equipped. And then I think we all get, I think you kind of started to touch on imposter syndrome, that feeling of like, who am I to do this? Like that's your whole first year. It's like every day you think, who am I? I don't know. And now I'm like in year eight and I'm like, I still say, who am I? I think, right? Does that, I don't know. For me, that doesn't go away. Lindsay, how do you feel about it? Cause yeah, that was Jenny talking, right? See, I'm the worst.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell me. Yeah. I know. Cause I'm like, I know you both. So I think I know. Yeah. Lindsay, what was your first year like?
So I was working a full-time job as well. I was working for a home builder and I was kind of casually starting the business, trying to get it up off the ground. and I was working okay. And then we went through a merger and I made it through the merger, but I got a new boss and she was in Florida and I was in California. And I just don't really think she needed me because she had another one of me with her. And I don't think it was her decision to keep me. It was like our CMO's decision. And it just wasn't that great of a working relationship. And I was super stressed out. And I just think it was more difficult because it was like a remote, kind of remote for her, you know, because I wasn't there in the office. And I just think it was a really difficult working experience. Mm-hmm. And I went from having all of this responsibility to like no responsibility and literally having nothing to do. And it was so difficult for me. So I eventually just quit. Like I literally just quit one day and wow. like walked out, which is not obviously what I recommend or, you know, cause I'm like a notice person, but it just got to a point so bad that I was so stressed out and I was having health issues that like for my health, I just needed to leave because I don't do well in those situations where, you know, it was bad. So
who does?
I left, I was trying to think, maybe it was 8 months into my business. I left. So, and I was like, great. You know, like who am I to do this? And I ended up moving out of my grandparents about 3 months after that. Obviously I had boyfriends, I'm still with him, but so it was very like scary and stressful because I really was not at a point where I should have quit.
Yeah.
money-wise in my business. So it was a very like turbulent first year. And then I ended up having to get another job. I probably worked for myself like completely for about a year before I got another job. And then I got another job. I stayed there maybe 6 months before I quit because again, it was another stressful situation, a whole other thing going on. But I quit in August and what is it now? It is June. So it's going on almost another year. And the second time did the trick, you know, it's like, I just knew way better. I could handle, you know, I was way more equipped to make it work this time.
Yeah.
Because you learn. So, and it's, I think having to go back and experience another job was just like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
And I think like, well, for me, when I go through these, cause we all kind of go through these turbulent times. Like I even feel like the having a baby, all of that is a turbulent time for me. And so it's like, I don't know. And then, but like what helps is like, don't you always surprise yourself with like how you get your stuff together? and you know, you pick your stuff up and you're like, I'm not a bum. Like, I'm fine. Right. Like, isn't that weird? Like, it's a scary, you go, even though you're like aesthetically, like this looks not good, but why am I not really, I don't know. I always had like a sense that like, well, I'll figure it out. Right. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really faithful, but did you ever have, did you have that kind of at the back of your mind? Like, no, I can do this.
Yeah, exactly. And, I just, the reason why I had actually got the second job was just to kind of make it easier. Mm-hmm. And if the job would have been what it was supposed to be, it would have been fantastic. Cause I would have been able to, you know, like get ahead and build up a savings. Cause I hadn't had plans to like stay for a while. I was thinking maybe like a year or something. Cause it was a non-traditional, it wasn't a desk job. It was something else. And it was with websites and stuff and it was great or supposed to be great. But, it just, you know, I just ended up being out of the house like 12 hours a day, like doing work and driving all over the place. And that really wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Gross.
And I was just like, yeah, it was gross. And which is sad because I actually liked the work.
Yeah.
But I just, and the salespeople weren't very nice. I got snapped at when stuff didn't work out because I knew the product and what we did much better than they did. And they didn't like when they didn't actually make a deal, but that's another segment, but I just didn't want to be in that environment. So I was just like, at this point I quit and I was just like, nope, I'm going to make it work no matter what I do. And I've been figuring it out every month since. So it's going on a year.
I love that. And I even like, just like thinking of that, you know, I'm going to make it work no matter what. I think that you need that, you know, when you're starting a business, like you need that, like I got this mentality. And so speaking to your audience, like thinking of the female service-based people and like who largely listen to also this show. So like you couldn't be in a better place. So guys, stop listening. No, I do have male listeners and I love them very much. I guess how do you think Uplevel Your Biz answers those pains? Cause now we've kind of like, and I'm like, write these down. Cause they should be on all your sales pages. Cause that's my inner copywriter, but I'm like, but like you do, you answer such important pain points of like, who am I to do this? Can I do this? I don't even know where to begin. I'm overwhelmed. What is this social media thing? Right? Like, or what business systems need to exist? What is a business system? Because I've had people, I had somebody on my Facebook Live once who talked about systems. And I was like, before we start, tell people what a system is. Cause like, I feel like people are like, business systems. And they're like, yeah, I need those. Yeah. Right. But they don't know. But yeah, how does Uplevel Your Biz answer it? Cause I think you guys do it in a few ways, but I'll let you speak to that.
Do you want to jump in, Jenny, first?
I can't. I mean, I think we really just try to make it as easy as possible for people to figure out what they need to be doing or what they want to be doing. There's so much like fluff in the online world. So we try to make that as streamlined as possible with our podcast and our blog and really just educate people. And then with our summit, we help people that way with a free 5-day event. And people get access to things about social media, email marketing, you know, sales, selling digital products, all those different topics in one place at one time. So it might be like a little overwhelming at first because it's like, well, that's a lot of information, but we want to make it as easily accessible as possible. And because a lot of the time, I feel like sadly, a lot of people try to take advantage of those new business owners and are like, okay, well, I have all the answers you need, but you need to pay me $5,000. And then people end up having to take out like a loan to like work with these people because they're brand new. And it's just, that's not who we want to be, or that's not who we strive to be at all. We want to make education and starting your business and getting, you know, traction with your business very, very easy and not costing you an arm and leg.
That's really well said. Because I was in your summit and I was really excited, by the way. It was a great time. Are you going to do that multiple times a year? Because I think you totally could. Do you do it multiple times?
We're actually thinking about it.
Yeah.
We do it once a year, but we're considering doing it again
in the fall.
Yeah, in the fall. And we're just figuring out still how we want to refine it. Because you were actually in our second. That was only our second summit.
Yeah.
So... So we're getting all of this stuff better organized on our end, figuring out, which we heard that we had a very organized summit, which we love to hear because we're both very type A Enneagram one. So we're like the perfectionists, need to have everything.
Man, you
like,
know, your Enneagram. I don't know. Did I ever do that? I don't think I did that one. I learned my Myers-Briggs the other day, but go on.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. We can talk about that one too. Cause we actually are the same Myers-Briggs.
What is your Myers-Briggs?
INTJ. Well, I'm an INTP or J. I'm like borderline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So mine is, the only difference is I'm an INFJ. So everything else is
F.
The same.
Yeah.
Am I F? Yeah, I think you're an F.
I'm also F.
I swear we were F.
I'm F.
Okay. I'm F as well. Yeah. So this will not shock you. I'm an ENFJ. So I'm like you, but like with the volume like louder or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
No, I asked because I'm like, you guys should totally, because I thought that was really, it was well executed. It was fun. I thought it worked really well. And so I'm like, I can see that being you doing it.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely something we want to do more often, not just for the profits, obviously, but just really being able to serve different people and allow different people to speak, you know, in a virtual summit. We're very inclusive with who we allowed to speak to. We're not just like, I'm only taking people with like 10K plus audiences. Like if someone has a good topic and they want to speak about it and we feel like it's a good fit, then we're willing to give them a shot because people gave us a shot back in the day when we were new and they let us be in their summits and on their podcasts and things like that. So we want to do the same thing. And you know, we do have people who do have bigger audiences, but that's not like the requirement to speak at the summit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I loved that. You had all kinds of people and really good information. So everybody, like, watch for that because I would say you don't want to miss the summit. I loved that experience. What you kind of – you shed light on just before when we were talking is you were saying, like, you don't – Yeah. Or wait, no, what were you saying? Oh, you were like, oh, yeah, yeah. When people start businesses, for example, you guys are not the kinds of people that would pray – on like the insecure and new, like the new kid in school is kind of a way to think about it. And I've even seen, like, I see horror stories where people will be like, I paid $5,000 to this person to coach me. And then this is tough, right? And then they're like, and it did nothing. And like that person was horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you gave up $5,000 really easily then, because I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Right. Like, I feel bad when that happens, but I think it's kind of too, it's like two prong. But yeah, what advice do you have for people that, you know, because I think it's good to invest in your business in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I guess, yeah, how do you know what kind of investments you should be making? That's actually, I think that is my question. Cause I think that's one of the first like potholes that they can hit or like glide over without hurting their car, you know, when they're in their first year. How do you guys make those kinds of calls?
So I know for us, we're big on like automation outsourcing. So we always recommend kind of the first things you do is maybe automate your business with tools, because that's a way less scary investment to start saving you up time so you can start working on like your money making activities by yourself and not wasting your time. I know investing in a coach is a way bigger investment. And I know I haven't done actual coaching, but I've done a mastermind that had a coaching component and I loved it. It is a very big investment. And if you're like, if you have the money to do it, like say you still have your full-time job and it's not going to like not let you eat or like pay the rent, I say go for it. As long as you really like field them out and not just jump right in. So I loved my mastermind. I was with Anna Franson of the Heart-Centered Entrepreneur. But I had known her for a year or so at first. I had seen her in our Facebook group. I liked what she teached. And, you know, she was very, very good about keeping the mastermind small and making sure everybody in it was at the same level, because like that's the type of person she is as well. So it's a big investment. So you want to make sure that you're with somebody supportive and that works well with you. Like their style works well. So it's great if you have it, but we're not in the camp of break the bank and go for it, because it doesn't always pay off. And now it definitely is a two-sided thing with coaching, because you have to do the work as well.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely have to do the work as well. And a lot of coaching is more mindset stuff. And I feel people don't necessarily get that. They say like coach and they think all of a sudden their business is going to do like, you know, 180 and like 10 times itself. And most of the time that's not the case.
Jenny, yeah. Is mm-hmm. that why you don't want to do social media? Is it because people come in with these ridiculous expectations?
Yeah, that's a part of it. Plus I feel like it's getting like, everyone's like, I'm a social media manager, but I literally only post on my personal Instagram and things like that. I'm just like, I'm over it. I don't want to compete with those people anymore. Like, and not that I think that I'm inferior, because I'm like, I know I can do better than them, but there's just a lot of competition. And I realized how much I love podcasting after podcasting for the past year and a half on my own. And now Lindsay and I have a joint podcast. And I just realized how much I loved it. And I have a few podcast clients that I do management for. So we do like the show notes, editing, you know, launching, things like that. And I just really fell in love with that. And I think it's such a newer market to be tapped into, whereas social is, you know, everyone and their mom is a social media manager these days. So
I used to do social media before, like I did websites way forever ago. And I got so tired. I don't know how people don't burn out. Like, I mean, I think that it's so much work. Like to do it.
And you have to be so on, like,
yes,
you have to be so on all the time, like plugged into it. And I'm just like, I just don't even want to be like that. And they have such high expectations. Like they want you to be responding on the weekends. I'm like, no, dude, like that's just, if you want it responded to on the weekends, then that's up to you. I'm on a Monday through Friday routine. Like,
I don't blame you.
It's just like, you know, boundaries. And I feel like the social media clients are the ones that don't know boundaries at all. Like my Pinterest clients are great because those are just very like hands off. I don't actually have to create the content.
Yeah.
It's just basically getting it out there into the world. But like Instagram, oof, I have one Instagram client now. I don't do it for anyone else anymore because I just don't like it. But this lady is very, very,
awesome.
We have like similar tone. Yeah. And like, she just understands me and we speak the same language basically. But there, I've had Instagram clients where I'm like, I literally just don't want to do this anymore because it's just so stressful and your expectations are like going from 10 followers to 10K overnight. And that's just not happening.
No. And I think people listening, you don't know if anyone says that, don't listen, they're scamming you. Like that, yeah. That is a scam. You don't, please do not fall for it. Lindsay, I'm going to turn to you and I'd love to ask you just a little bit about like the summit in general. So tell people, cause there's people listening that are probably like, I want to run a summit. Mm-hmm. So tell people a little bit about like, I don't know what to expect before expecting a summit. Like, so what, like what should people be really expecting? Cause I think when people think I want to run a summit, they're really thinking like, I want to grow my email list and stuff. And I don't know if they know what comes after that. And I don't think I blame them because I think that's where I begin and then I end. So can you kind of speak to like what to actually, like what's a reasonable expectation?
Yeah. So I first want to start by saying that running a summit is actually a lot of work. It's definitely not a quick grow your email list. And I think people see all of these people hosting summits that seem to be making like $16,000. Like, I don't know. They all seem to be making the exact same amount with their summit.
That is suspicious.
I know. So when we're like,
I think it's the way that they price it because like it ends in like 97 or whatever, like 47, 97, whatever. It's like that, you know, that lovely marketing number that everyone uses. And I think that's why it's like pretty much the same, but yeah, I'm not sure either.
They all have similar people recently in it. So I think that's helping. So we did not make anywhere near that. We did do a podcast episode. I cannot remember the number where we talked about, you know, what we made, how many, you know, like that kind of stuff. Cause we like to be very transparent and break it down and be really honest because I feel one of the big things is you see all the good stuff up front and you don't always get the realistic expectations when you're just starting out. So it's a lot of work and you might not get as much growth as you're expecting. We still got, I don't know, a couple hundred, maybe 400 people, new people on our email list this past one. So I think it's just a mix on how much you promote the summit. So like if we didn't do much in ads, we did have some, but if we would have really went all out with ads, we probably could have like exponentially grew that, you know, even more. But we were very conservative with our ads. But, you know, I just kind of take a base of, we like to ask the amount of followers and email subscribers just so we kind of have a baseline of our potential reach to kind of get a base on maybe what would be realistic. But the main thing is it's a lot of work. It's not a quick thing to just grow your email list and get a quick cash injection. Even the one that you were in, we had less work because we had you guys record your presentation and send them in. So our first summit, we actually did interviews with 20 people, which took forever. So
do not recommend.
We don't. But it's just a lot of work. I think that's the big thing is people are like, oh, it's a summit. It's going to be fun. But it is fun. But the amount of work you have to put in, you have to realize that what you're gaining might not be necessarily an email list, like huge email list or like monetary. It is some, but it's not, might not be huge, but you're making the connections and you're starting to get your name out there with other business owners for like future collaborations and stuff like that. And I think that's probably the biggest gain.
Yeah.
If you do it well, because we were just in a summit that didn't end up going very well. And we just, we both were in it and we both did the interviews. And I don't know if other people dropped out, but she kind of just let it fizzle. And it
she didn't even like promote it. She's like, oh, here's the summit. Like, but we're not actually going to like share it with anyone. But if you want to share it with your friends, go for it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks. I'm so inclined to share now.
What a waste. What a phenomenal waste of your time. I mean, like, right? Well, so I think you hit on something so smart. And this is actually, this kind of speaks to client expectations, which is what I want to ask about. I think now, but like speaking to the, like how you were like, well, you go into a summit and you know, you have, I don't know. I hope that you weren't disappointed. I think 400 is great because it's 400. It's like fresh blood, which sounds creepy, but I'm like, oh yeah, new people, new meat. But yeah, no, it's that part is really, really awesome. I guess, how do you, what would I ask? How do you temper expectations in a client relationship? Because I think that that's even like, not temper, but like, how do you make, I guess, do you just make sure to really over communicate like what your services, like the value of your services? Because if it is visibility, I think visibility is immensely valuable. It's just hard to measure. Right?
I'll let Jenny take that one since she's does more social. I think mine's a bit easier since I do design and design and stuff, so it's pretty easy deliverable.
Yeah, with Lindsay, she doesn't have to be like, oh, it's not in your court to get people to their website. It's just you make it pretty and they deal with it. Like if you had an SEO component to it, that would be a different story. But for me, really, I mean, part of the reason, like we talked about earlier, why I'm moving away is because people just had such ridiculous expectations and like didn't realize that social media is brand awareness with a small lead generation component. It doesn't mean you're going to make tons of sales. I'm not guaranteeing any sales. I'm not a sales strategist or manager or any of that thing. I'm just helping you get your stuff out there to the right people. And if they want to purchase, that's up to them and that's not on me. But that's really hard for people to understand. So what I do with that is I just really clearly communicate to them, like, this is what your package entails. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do any more than this. I'm also not going to do any less than this. And I just drive it home. Like I'm not guaranteeing you any type of results. This is what clients in your niche have seen before, but that doesn't mean that's going to be your result. And I just make that super crystal clear to them. So, you know, in a couple months they come back and they're, you know, they're thinking that, oh, I should be higher. I mean, that's always going to happen, but it's just one of those things. Like I don't guarantee results. I don't ever know what they're going to hit. There can be a guesstimate. That doesn't mean they're actually going to do it. And with podcasting, that's so much easier because since they're the one producing the content, not me, same with Pinterest, I only have a responsibility of getting them the content back, having it edited, things like that, you know, helping them launch it. There's no weight in how many downloads they get as to if I'm doing my job properly. Like the downloads is up to them. Like I will put it on social media for them. That's part of the package. But if they're not getting a lot of downloads, then they need to put in the effort too. Yeah. They can't just like sit there and have it be passive.
Well, completely. And I think you hit on something so important. It's that your marketing is only as effective as where you drive your traffic. Dum, dum, dum. Websites. Mm-hmm. Content. Yeah, no, I obviously I'm like, I sell websites, but that's why the foundation, you need a really strong foundation, because otherwise how can you be setting them up for success either? So really well said. And also over communicating what people can expect, I think is so important. And I think that was really, really smart. So thank you for answering that. It's now time for your rapid fire personality questions. Oh my God. Well, let's see how rapid they are. So before we started recording, as I shared with you, everybody keeps saying Survivor is their favorite TV show. So I'm just going to take that and I'm just going to put it out there. Everybody keeps saying it. I'm glad it's not yours. Although people listening, don't be offended if it is your favorite show. I just think it's weird how many entrepreneurs really like Survivor, because it's been like, I haven't been doing the rapid fire personality thing that long, like a few episodes. So it's weird. But yeah, no, tell me your favorite TV show. Cause now I just want to know, cause it's not Survivor. And if I ring a bell, that just means I'm excited. Cause I always ring a bell when I ask this question. There you go.
I love that.
Yeah. Jenny, go.
The Bachelorette/Bachelor franchise for me.
Yeah. And then Lindsay, what's your favorite show?
Right now I'm rewatching Grey's and I love Grey's. I'm watching it with my mom.
Grey's
for the first time,
goes
she's
on forever.
Never seen it.
Oh my God.
She has never seen it. I know.
What? So, that's crazy.
I know. She never wanted to watch it. And I'm like, no, you need to. I'm like, let's just watch like 3 episodes. If you're not hooked after that, we can change it. We're on season 4 already. So.
Oh yeah. I watched it for a really long time and then eventually fell off the Grey's wagon, but I still think it's a great show. Okay. Yeah. Tell me your favorite business related book.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lindsay, you go first.
I actually like Big Magic because it's all about creativity and letting ideas like flow to you and the flow of ideas. And it just came to me at a really good time when I needed it.
Oh, I never read that one. Elizabeth Gilbert though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenny, do you have one?
Yeah, the Denise Duffield Thomas. I can't remember the name. It's like Get Rich Lucky Bitch or something like that. One. That one's really good.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, no, because I'm like, I need to read more. So that might have been a little bit for me. Okay, and then I guess my last thing. Okay, what is a piece of advice to somebody that is at a transitional stage in their business? Lindsay, go first.
I would just say, kind of sit and reflect on what you really want to do, because transitions are really hard, but normally it's for the better. So as long as you kind of, I would say journal it out or write or really have time to think to yourself about it on what you want to do and don't rush it, because I've tried to rush stuff. And when you rush, it doesn't like kind of just let it happen. I mean, you need to have like those timelines if you're trying to hit a goal, but give yourself time to let it like stew and evolve from there. Because if you try to force it or rush it too soon, it's just a disaster.
Well said. Yeah. And Jenny, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, for me, mine is just like, don't let it paralyze you. Like, don't let the transition paralyze you. Cause some people get stuck in that rut where they're like, they want to make a transition and they're ready for this transition, but then they sit there and listen to a million podcasts or blogs or videos or whatever it is. And then they get stressed out and stuck. And they're like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Same with people just starting their business. I feel like people just get in that trap and then they don't take action because they're scared of what's going to happen. And for me, what I do, because obviously I'm in a big transition phase right now, I literally just set a date. Like I was like, June 17th, this is happening, like hell or high water, it's happening. And I put it out into the world. I'm like, this is happening. So it's happening, because if I put it out in the world, it's going to happen. I'm not going to push back deadlines because I was scared, you know? So that's just what I do personally.
Well said. I love that. Just, it's going to happen. Setting a deadline is a really great tip. Okay. Tell everybody where they can find you online.
Okay, I'll jump in first. Mm-hmm. So our website is uploveyourbiz.com, and then we're on Instagram at uploveyourbizco. And then we do have a Facebook group that we've been starting to do weekly live streams in of just kind of trainings. So if you just go to Facebook and search uploveyourbiz, or I believe if you go to uploveyourbiz.com/group, it should take you right there.
Amazing.
And one last thing.
Oh yeah, go.
If you want to go sign up for the waitlist to either be a guest speaker on our upcoming summit or just sign up to be notified when the summit is about to go live for this next round, you can go to uploveyourbizsummit.com.
Okay, awesome. All the links will be in the show notes. Thank you, Jenny and Lindsay, for joining me today.
Yes, thank you. We had so much
fun. Thank you for having us.
Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe, listen again later, tell your friends, leave a review, because all of that helps me do all of this. For show notes and more information, check out lizteresa.com/podcast.